Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. I'm so happy we're here tonight.
You can't do it, can you?
Nope.
Laura's got to be awkward. Well, we're here tonight with Catherine Lanick. Catherine, we're so glad you came on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Catherine is one of the people that when Kristen Poole posted on Facebook about the embarrassment of riches at Dallas Bible and people wanting to get involved and just highlighting women in our church, Catherine was one of the people that was interested in helping. And Catherine is currently helping us with the administrative tasks of the podcast. Yes. It's Laura got fired, Catherine got hired.
Yeah. It was kind of like a firing, but also a firing from a job you don't really want and know you're not good at.
And I told you I liked that kind of stuff.
Which I was like, I don't really understand what you're saying to me right now, and I can't imagine that it's true, but I'll believe you. Because that's how I feel about administrative
I've heard you say
duties.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Which you have been such a blessing to us already in just on top of things and like asking what else you can do to help. So we're so thankful for
you.
If
only we knew.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know enough about any of this to know how you can help, but yeah, whatever you come up with is probably a good idea.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know the drill cause you've been listening.
Yes.
So just tell us about you, about just your basic bio life, early life, to this point.
My dad was in the military and I was born in Germany. We moved to Texas.
Where were y'all?
At Ramstein Air Force Base.
Did we talk about this
I
last
like
summer?
I must have.
Because I was at Ramstein from like 4 to 8 years old.
I was just realizing how little I know about you. That's amazing. Well, I had no idea.
I wish I remembered it because there's awesome pictures from there and we've been back to Germany with my family to see the whole country. I mean, a lot of the country. It's beautiful. So we moved to Texas, to San Antonio. My dad worked at Brooks Air Force Base, and we kept thinking we were going to move every 4 years, but my dad stayed in that one place for the rest of my childhood. So I grew up in the same house all the way through, and
not what you think of as like the stereotypical military life.
And so my parents moved when I was in high school to a house my mom liked better, but they're still in San Antonio, so
wow.
My parents are there. Let's see. So I feel like I wanted to move because I wanted something more exciting.
San Antonio wasn't crazy enough for you?
No. I mean, it's a great city, but, let's see. And then I have an older brother who's 11 years older than me, and I have an adopted sister who's 3 years older than me. So it's interesting. And my sister lives in Houston and my brother lives in Georgia, and Atlanta. So we're just kind of all over. And
what was life like in your house?
It was, my brother kind of grew up by himself and then was our babysitter,
okay.
Which I think he kind of resented that. And then my sister and I were so different. I mean, we love each other, but we are so, so different, in every way that we fought a lot as kids. Mm. We have a good relationship now, but it was like a normal childhood. I grew up going to church. We went to a Catholic church. Mm. But
how many former Catholics have we had on?
There's a lot.
And I'm a former Catholic.
Yes.
I'm one of them.
Yes. We were very faithful about going to church on Sunday, but that's kind of where, to me, it felt like it ended. Like, that was it. Like, you go to church and then you're done after that hour.
Check it off.
Yeah. So,
you can leave after communion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but my mom wouldn't because she didn't want to be embarrassed. She didn't want the priest to see us leaving. So we had... It's like, you know, follow the rules. So I grew up as a rule follower. That was how, like, I functioned. People tell me what to do, and I do it right. So I didn't really experience, like, being free on my own until college. You know, that's kind of where you...
Where'd you go to school?
I went to A&M.
Mm-hmm. Whoop!
Whoop! Yeah.
I went there too.
Yes. And I met my husband there. We met as freshmen. We were just babies, 18 years old.
Started dating right away.
Started dating. I wasn't intending to meet my husband right when I started school. Mm-hmm. So, but then we dated all through college and we got married right after I graduated, and he still had a semester left of school. So we lived there with no money, but it was fun.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved to Dallas, and that's where we've been for the last 10 years, I guess. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So y'all been married 10 years.
We've been married
almost 11, right?
Almost 11.
You go,
yeah.
Whenever you refused to buy me Latisse,
I was
Mexican
in Mexico
pharmacy for your 10th anniversary.
Yes,
right?
You know, and my husband.
I'll always count our friendship that
my
way.
My husband did like a really sweet.
Luckily, I've had 1 year of eyelash growth since then.
Well, they look amazing. My
Thank
husband,
you.
he planned this whole trip with my friends, and he like. Rededicated his love to me, and we
Aww.
Did a little ceremony on the beach, and it was amazing. It took my breath away.
Oh,
so.
That's so sweet.
It was really awesome.
Oh my gosh. Stephanie went, right?
Stephanie and Laura Seifert and yeah. Jamie Grant. So
oh, fun.
Are
they, awesome.
Are you in, all, is that y'all's small
we,
group?
We all used to be in a small group.
Okay.
And we've, the Seiferts and the Jernigans started a new one, and Jamie's still in my group.
Okay.
So, but we're good friends.
Yeah, that's so neat. And he organized it. Was it a surprise?
It was supposed to be a complete surprise, but I don't like complete surprises. Like, if all my friends showed up, it would really freak me out that I wasn't expecting it.
You would have been way up in your head,
so he knew that
about you.
No, one of my friends had to remind him that I don't like to be surprised like that, like in that way. So, yeah.
So it was just the right amount of
just
surprise.
Just the right amount of surprise.
That
is what
sounds
I like
my 40th birthday. Kyle organized like a bunch of our friends going out to eat with us, and he had planned for us to like go out on Lake Grapevine, which when we got engaged, that's what we did. But he didn't tell me, and I knew we were going out with some of our friends because they rode in the car with us. And he's like, he's not telling me where we're going. And we're driving out there. And he doesn't know that about me either. I like to know where I'm going to, just because I can have great expectations, and what I think you're going to do, it might surpass what you actually do. So you might need to tell me. So anyway, he's like, you know, they're all, everybody's in the car, or some of the people, the only people I know that are coming are in the car. And he's like, well, you know, where do you think we're going? And I was like, we're heading west. I'm like, feels like, you know, it's my 40th birthday. I'm like, we're going to Lake Grapevine and we're going to go on a sailboat, which is what, like, he rented a sailboat, which is what he did
Aww.
When we got engaged.
Oh.
And so he's like, no, we're not going on a sailboat. And so then I'm like, well, I don't know what we're doing. Okay, y'all, I've probably told you this story,
no.
right? Okay.
I feel bad for Kyle, I think.
Oh. Okay, so we are going to Lake Grapevine, I discover, when we pull up to a hamburger joint on the edge of Lake Grapevine, and we're going to eat there. And I'm like, okay, when I'm thinking my 40th birthday, I love being on the water. I mean, love being on the water. So me going on a boat sounds awesome. I know that Kyle knows that I love the water. What I'm afraid of is that he thinks the idea of eating on the water at this burger joint where you can have like greasy shrimp, fried shrimp or a hamburger with my friends is going to be like my idea of like wonderful 40th birthday. And so I'm like, I don't get it. I'm literally saying, I don't get it. It's like my, I'm like, I don't get it. Why are we here? Like, because this can't be what we're doing for my 40th birthday. I didn't say that out loud, but that's what I'm thinking.
No,
then
you said, I don't get it out loud.
I said, I don't get it out loud. Well, then we sit down, and not only just the people that came in the car with us, there's like several other couples. So I'm like, he's had our friends drive an hour out to this
fried greasy shrimp joint.
Yes. That I do not want to eat here on my 40th birthday. This is not what I want to eat on my 40th birthday. Like, I want to do something that I think is super fun. And if I'm not going to go out on the water, I don't want to just sit in some greasy, like, you know, whatever. I don't want to do this. So I'm the whole way through dinner. He's smirking at me. Like he thinks it's funny. And I'm sitting there like with the confused look on my face because the whole time I'm trying to figure out what is going on. Well, it turns out it was actually a lovely birthday, but I kind of wish that he had known
that you want to know what's coming.
I want to know what's coming because I could have enjoyed the whole dinner had I known Chip and Sherry, some friends from our old church, had let us use their party barge.
Oh, fun.
And so we had that party barge. And so we went out and drank wine and whatever on the party barge. And Kyle had made like this tape of all the hit song, like a hit song from each year. It was really thoughtful and I loved it and it was so fun and I loved going out on the water, but like an hour and a half of my birthday party, I was not having fun because I was thinking
there were no managed expectations
and this wasn't meeting them.
Yeah. And your husband knew,
or at least he
managed Catherine's expectations.
I like to know the plan. I like to know what's coming. I've always been that way since a kid. Like I had a calendar that I would plan out my week. I love to do that.
Which is interesting that you would have found moving every 4 years appealing.
Want to move every 4 years. I just wanted to move somewhere else because I didn't really... Once you get, like, elementary school, you can't really grow out of that. I was really shy and kind of nerdy just because all I did was focus on my schoolwork. And so... I didn't have like tons of friends.
Forever or just elementary?
So for a while. I mean, I just wasn't confident in myself, I guess. And so what I was good at was school. And so I just did that. And
yet another sentence you will never hear me say.
What I was good at was school.
Yeah. Not a statement you'll hear me make.
Because I know what the expectations are and I'm good at doing that.
You get in your lane, right. You exist in your lane, you know.
I don't have like tons of creativity outside the box thinking, which I wish I did. So it worked well for the school environment. You know?
What did you major in?
I actually majored in marketing, which I had really no idea what I was doing at school. I just got into the business school, which I thought was, oh, that's good, and then picked marketing. It was interesting, but I got out of school and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And we moved to Dallas, and I didn't have a job. My husband did. And so I was lost. He's like, you can do whatever you want. And I said, what should I do? So I worked for a temp agency and I worked in HR for Baylor for a little bit. And then I worked in HR at an advertising company. So somehow I ended up in HR and I hated it. And one day my husband looked at me and he said, you want to be a teacher, don't you? I was like, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of scary because how do I be a teacher? What do I have to do? Da, 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 da. You know, I went through all the scenarios. And he said, well, let's just research it and figure out what you need to do. And so that's what I pursued after that. And
I'm feeling very much like Jessica Denny right now because everything you're saying, I'm seeing through the lens of Enneagram. And I can totally see your number. Yes. Yeah,
I know. It totally makes sense now.
You'll become obsessed soon enough, Laura.
I know. Yes, I've like, joined the dark side.
So I don't take a lot of risks. I don't just do things. My husband, he loves to try new things, take the risk. So what if you fail? Like, I don't do well with that. And so...
So did you end up teaching?
I did. And then I got pregnant with my daughter, Hannah. And I quit to stay home with her. And then I had another daughter, Hope. So I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, 2 girls. And I just recently decided to go back to teaching part-time.
You are?
So you didn't hear me say that tonight. Oh, yeah.
No, I was sitting on the wrong half of the room.
I'm going to be teaching preschool at Hope's school.
That's how Catherine and I know each other.
Is that Graham Cracker?
Graham Cracker.
Okay.
I'm super excited. It's going to be the oldest age kid.
Don't they have a transitional kindergarten?
They do have a kindergarten. They don't call it transitional kindergarten, but not that.
Are you replacing April Keener?
Yes.
Okay.
April Keener was Lydia's first Mother's Day Out teacher.
Really?
She's so awesome. She was really sweet. I haven't seen her in years, but she was Lydia's
same.
Really blessed to have gotten that job and gotten that position specifically because I feel like they have a lot of faith in my abilities to teach those little kids. So I'm excited to do that.
And Stephanie, will she be your teaching partner?
Stephanie. Yeah.
She seems super cool, too.
Yes. She's a Brentfield mom. My kids are my second grader. She's going to be a second grader at Brentfield, Hannah.
So will you teach Hope?
I won't. They're going to put Hope in the class right next to
okay.
me.
Okay.
But she should be in my class.
But that's what they did with Stephanie's daughter.
Yeah.
That's so neat. I feel like that's a good balance for you to be able to do what you're good at.
Yeah.
And what you enjoy, but also be able to
be available. Yes.
And you know what? I'm excited to teach, but I'm even more excited about connecting with the women that work there because they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And they pray together every day before school starts and just loving on the moms of the kids. And I'm excited about that too. Mm-hmm. And it's a ministry. It's a ministry of their church and unashamedly they share the gospel and I love that.
They make that really known.
Yeah.
So and I think that shows your heart for, you know, we've been talking about how administrative you are, but I think I'm going to make up a new term.
Mm-hmm.
You're missionally administrative. Like you want to use
She's purpose-driven administrative.
She is purpose-driven in her administrativeness. I just said missionally also. Yeah. So that's two. But know that you want to be intentional with that in
I do.
Bridging relationships with other women.
Because I remember when I was and these aren't going to be new moms necessarily because that was Mother's Day out or I don't know, but I just remember dropping my daughter off and just, I would talk to the teachers. They would give me advice. I would, you know, they just knew what was going on with my child and just, it was just nice to have like that extra support, just kind of that love your kid also, you know, they love your kid. So I'm excited.
So you mentioned you grew up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
When did you figure out the whole grace thing? When did you become like a believer in Jesus? Like where you really felt like that transformed your life?
So
how did that come to
pass? It's really interesting. When I met my husband, I was in this place of trying to figure out what I believe. I was going to the Catholic Church at A&M, which I have an awesome community there of Catholics. I actually went on a retreat with them. But I was still really conflicted. I had met so many Christians, so many people, and I was like, but I can't leave the Catholic Church. I mean, that's the way I'm supposed to
be.
I am Catholic.
Me too.
I was really afraid of disappointing my parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, truthfully. But I reached a point where first I figured out that God really does love me. Mm. That I just always had that doubt that he was like kind of scary, a little bit judgmental. I didn't really feel like he could love me just for me. You know, I grew up thinking, I used to worry that we didn't go to confession. Like we were supposed to be going regularly. So I'm like, if I die, I'm going to hell. So I was so worried all the time about doing everything right. So first, it was God loves me. And grace, that was a word that was not in my vocabulary. I really didn't understand that. And it took me my entire freshman year, probably. I don't really feel like there was like a defining moment. It was more like a process. I started going to my husband, or my boyfriend at the time, Jordan's church, too. And I'd go to the Catholic church, and I would just talk to people. And I joined my very first Bible study ever my sophomore year of college. And it was the essentials of the faith. And so we went through every single, like, you know, what's grace? What does it mean to be saved? I mean, it seems basic, but
that's awesome. No, that's a great one.
It met you where you were.
Well, and I spent hours on the study every week. Some people would come in, you know, they've been Christians for a while. They're like, yeah, you know, I didn't really do the homework. And I would pull out my notebook with like tiny little writing in it. And I couldn't stop reading the Bible. And I kind of missed that passion that I had then because I was almost angry that I didn't know about it before.
Mm.
And no, I mean, no offense to the Catholic Church. We just didn't open up the Bible. It didn't feel like that's what we should be.
It didn't feel as available.
Yeah. So I just was really confused. And I'm like, and then I realized, this is so simple. Why does it seem like, why does it have to be so complicated?
Well, for the first time, it was put in your hands. Like, this is something you can do. You don't have to wait
for
it.
My friend went and helped me buy an NIV study Bible that I still have. And it had little notes at the bottom that were so helpful when I didn't understand something. And I mean, and then all of a sudden I thought I needed to go home and talk about Jesus to everybody all the time.
And did it did you carry all where your NIV well. Study Bible yes. with you everywhere oh,
yeah.
you went.
Yeah. It was, there's some interesting times in there.
What did your parents think about oh, the transformation?
I hope they don't listen to this podcast. they were not happy. They, first of all, I'm their little girl. You know, I'm off at college. I meet a guy that they're like, you know, all of a sudden you're going to a different church. Is he controlling you? Is he making you do this? Are Is he brainwashing you? Yeah, that kind of thing. They even came and went to church with me one time, but they were just looking for the negative and everything. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, no, no, it's not him. Because it really was not him. I mean, he had an influence, but obviously he didn't, right. you know, make
He wasn't making the tiny notes.
Maybe a little guy known as God.
Right. But my parents viewed it as him.
We sometimes call him the big guy.
The big guy, yeah. That's the lingo.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was tough. And then they kind of let up a little bit, but when we were going to get married, the hurt came up that I wasn't getting married in the Catholic Church. And so that was really hard. Mm. And now they've, accepted as much as they can. You know, I mean, I think they see now that our family is functioning really well and healthy, and they're happy for that, you know?
Can we just point out for a moment that Jess and I have both shared stories of our college rebellion, and your college rebellion was to write tiny notes in your Bible.
Okay, but let me say.
That they were like daggers to the heart.
Okay.
But I was writing in a book.
That is not what I wanted to do when I went to college. You know, I was the good girl. I was the goody two-shoes in high school. Everyone called me that. So I'm like, I'm going to college and I'm going to have fun. But I met him 2 months into college. So I did. I did have a little bit of fun. So I met my sweet Christian boyfriend. But at the same time, I was like...
And then all the fun died.
No, that's not it. Actually, I did realize, I was like, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to continue down the path that I was kind of starting to go down, because I was starting to meet people that probably weren't going to be... They weren't going to be good for me in the long run. So
that path ends in the garage. In a garage about to get a tattoo.
That's right. Bears tattooed in. That's where that road leads. Bears tattooed in. Or a 0.09 GPA. Or was it a 0.9?
Just a 0.9. Wow. Out of zero. Wow.
And a born playa tattoo on your breast.
That is not me. That is a friend.
Just asking for a friend.
So you met him and that... started that journey, and your parents now they see where you are, and
my husband is wonderful. He takes such amazing care of our family that my parents couldn't help but love him now. You know,
I don't know him well, but I've seen y'all interact, and he just seems very sweet, very attentive. I did see him once, and I decided that I liked him because we were at a graham cracker performance, and you were sitting there in front of me, and he snuck up behind you and scared
you
the pants off of you. And I thought it was hilarious, because that is something that either I would do to someone or my husband would do to me. So I was like, oh, I like that guy.
He's playful. We used to sneak up on each other and jump out and do all that so much when we were first married. I don't think to do that anymore.
Yeah. So tonight, that's what you need to go home and do.
Kyle and I have a version of that, but it's we have a little statue that's called the Statue of Our Love, and one of my students, Giovanni, gave it to us as a wedding present.
Aww.
And it has these, like, it looks like a married couple and they make a heart with their arms somehow. And I think right now it's on top of my piano.
He moves it around.
when I was unpacking, like, the wedding presents, it's not like something, thank you, Giovanni, if you ever listen to this podcast. He's probably like in college now.
I think that's unlikely.
I think it's unlikely, but I really did love Giovanni. But when I unpacked my wedding presents, I put it on the mantle in our living room as a joke, and I didn't say anything to Kyle. Rarely do I let jokes land on their own. I usually like usher them
Look
in.
How funny this
Look
is.
Look how funny I am, you know. But this one time I actually let it like land. And so it took him like a while to discover it, and you know, and then it's like really funny because totally I'm not putting that there, you know. And so anyway, it became a game that we would like move it around, and sometimes it might end up in the refrigerator. One time it stayed a solid year from winter to the next winter in Kyle's jacket pocket.
He discovered it when he pulled it out. One time I discovered it when it poked me in the bottom when I sat down on the toilet.
Oh my gosh.
To pee. And the Statue of Our Love was poking
That's
out.
Next level.
Yeah,
that's,
that was next no, level. That's gross. Yeah, it is kind of gross, but it's had a few baths, and luckily I caught it before anything.
You know, those little marriage pranks keep
I know, they're yeah, it's like scaring you sometimes whenever you,
that's
you know,
right.
That was scary.
Yeah.
So your journey started in
college.
In college.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you seem like just to have such a strong faith.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I guess, I don't know.
And now you have to live up to the expectations. Will you please proceed to talk about what a strong
faith
you have?
I still struggle with, well, when I first became a Christian, okay, I'm a Christian. Christ died for me, took away my sins. Now what do I need to do? Oh, okay, now I need to be having quiet times every day. What does that look like? What do I need to do for that? Well, every time I'd fail at it, because I wouldn't be consistent or something, I would be like, oh, I'm failing at being a Christian. And I still struggle with that sometimes. I go through, you know, everybody goes through seasons. So, yeah, there's been... I'm
so glad that's not the bar, or I would be screwed.
But see, that was what I was looking for as a new believer. Like, what... Okay, now what does a Christian do?
How do I measure my faith?
Yeah,
we call that backloading the gospel.
Right. I didn't know that at the time, but, you know, then it became... Okay, now I'm a wife. How do I be the best wife? And do. And like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna become a mom. Now I'm gonna be the best mom. You know, obviously. I'm gonna read all the books. And then it was like,
So you set the bar really high for yourself. And it probably created some anxiety with not being able to meet that expectation on yourself, to like that perfect expectation.
And I'm not really a perfectionist. I just, part of me just wants. Well, I don't know.
I want to do it right.
I want to do it right. I don't want to mess up. That's for sure. And so I was able to control my life in the way I wanted it to be until I had kids. Because you can't control kids. And I just was not prepared for that at all.
Like, with that first kid, you really try to.
I tried so hard.
You think if you just do this magical dance,
I tried
that
so
exactly
hard. I read so many books. I got rid of all the books. I didn't want him around for my second child because it caused me so much distress knowing that my child's not following this, what they're supposed to be doing. And it broke me. I mean, I was broken. And I want to say that I turned to God right away and was like, okay, God.
Don't we all want to say that?
like, you know, when you're really struggling, okay. But I actually was pretty... angry, I think, kind of like, why did you give me
this baby,
this child that I
do
don't know how to take care of? I don't know what I'm doing. I was devastated, you know. I mean,
well, when you have an expectation for yourself, and two, you're so hopeful that this is going to be fun and wonderful and fulfilling. And I don't know if that was your experience, but for me, my experience was the expectation of those things and that I would be really good at it.
Yeah.
And the reality was, oh, this doesn't look like...
yeah.
Well, it doesn't look... certainly doesn't look perfect. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't even look good. Mm-mm. And it's causing me a lot of stress.
Yeah, there were some dark days with that first baby where I was Googling baby Moses laws.
Oh, me and baby center. I was like...
Oh.
Why get on there. She
well,
do?
Baby center sounds healthier than baby Moses
laws.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
With like a safe place for you to drop off your kid and run.
Well, I was more like, it was more like I was going to run. I was like, I'm going to run.
Yeah, me too. I was going to drop her off with the fire.
Oh, well.
Like, no.
And you know,
just
so often we don't reach out to other moms.
Well, with
say,
that first baby, you don't have the mom network.
I did not.
You don't.
I did not have them. I had her at 26,
you're a baby.
Well, I didn't think I was. I was like,
we all got married so young.
We were 22, yeah. So I'm ready to have a baby. I always wanted to be a mom. I love kids. I'm nurturing and da da da. So we had a baby, and I had one friend that had a baby, and she lived 30 minutes away from me. So I had nobody.
And you were trying to control nap times back then.
Well, and then my husband would always apologize to our friends that we couldn't do things. And so then I got just angry. Because, yeah, we couldn't. It changed our whole life, right? Mm-hmm. It does, obviously. But it just threw me down a spiral, really bad, really dark spiral, where I had to finally get help that I needed, and my husband was completely supportive, and it was scary, but it's part of my story. And I used to feel a lot of shame from it, but I feel like you said, more women that talk about it, postpartum depression and anxiety, that's actually something I would be really passionate about. Especially, like, a girl tonight mentioned that at our study, that, like, she's very compassionate and aware of women that have experienced that. Anytime I hear of anyone that's going through something hard, I just want to reach out to them and say, how can I help you?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best things, I did have a Bible study group, and they took care of me for 3 months. They brought me food. And then that, the older women in the group did a babysitting. They would just show up at my house and take my baby and let me sleep, because that's what I needed.
You know, when Lydia, so the only thing that kept me from what, I wouldn't say I had postpartum depression with her, but what saved me from it, because I was slipping. When she was 5 weeks old, I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was like I had her in our room. I was feeding her every time she moved. Like, because I was like, I felt like my job was to keep her from crying. And, one of my dear friends from college, Tanya, who lived in Charleston at the time, she's like, come out here, just come out here. She had 3 kids. She had a 5-month-old, and Tanya took my newborn in her room.
And fed them.
She didn't feed her.
No,
she just took her.
Woken up
so that I wouldn't be woken up all night. And she just patted that baby. And all of a sudden, this woman that was like, strung out, feeding a baby every hour, hour and a half, laying awake at night, just thinking, is she going to start crying? So, you know, was sleeping. And she, and Tanya could keep that baby from crying. And I only had to feed her twice in the night.
Wow.
So I stayed out there for 8 days. She had she had Lydia, like, trained. Like, if Lydia woke, she would just pat her for She had a 5-month-old and 2 kids.
And she did that for you. That's amazing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And when I got home, she said, put that baby in the other room. Only feed her when she's crying.
Yeah, not whimpering.
And make Kyle pick her up and change her diaper and bring her to you so that you don't feel like you're alone. And it, like, saved my life.
Oh, that's really good.
It was so wonderful. And just the level of friendship that,
that's
beautiful.
She might be a 2. She might be a healthy 2.
She might be a healthy two.
That's amazing, and I think that you having a group of women that saw that need, but it takes vulnerability. It took vulnerability for both of you to say, "This is not going well."
That's an understatement. Yeah,
because everybody comes over and they go, "Isn't it wonderful? You have a new baby. This is the greatest thing." I mean, and one woman came over. She was, you know, she had old grown kids, and she said, "It sucks, doesn't it?" And I was like, thank you.
It is the worst.
I mean, not that I wasn't grateful for my child, of course. Like, I love my child, but yes, in that moment where she was crying every moment she was awake and spitting everything up, and you know, it was like I just was surviving, basically, and trying to make sure she was surviving. So it was a very stressful way.
And
to
then
live.
It's like all you can see is motherhood.
That's all I was.
And
that's,
you don't like it. So it's the only thing I'm doing right now, I don't think I'm doing well, I don't like.
Yeah. I know.
What does that mean? What are the implications about me and who I am?
I was envious of my husband that got to go to work be away for a while.
Or to be in the car.
But I knew he didn't really want to come back to what he was going to walk into, because usually I was crying and just hadn't showered. And anyway.
And that's the next thing. The next level is it, like, takes a toll on your marriage, too. Like, that can be really hard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. You're not connecting, and you feel like just so blah all the time. And
So I almost didn't have a second child.
But
I'm so glad we did. And I really feel like, okay, it's been 4.5 years since I had my last child. I'm finally, I feel like, to a place. I mean, it's taken this long where I'm like, oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see this. They don't need me as much. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy being around my children. And I hate saying that, because there were times I did not enjoy being around my children.
I have never felt that way.
I'm sure everybody feels, sorry, it just sounds so bad to say. And I, so yeah, that's part of why I said, okay, I think I can work part-time, and I'm going to start figuring out things that I like to do, and so.
A refocus on yourself. Yeah. And I like that that's a nice segue into our next question. You said figuring out things you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked a little bit about how you're gifted, how you think God has uniquely gifted you. But elaborate on that and how you would like to see God use you to serve.
Oh, man. I saw that question and I don't know, like, the exact answer for that.
There's only a right or wrong
answer. I mean,
answer.
I...
Yeah, it's like parenting. There's only one right
way. It feels prideful to be like, well, I'm gifted.
That's what I try to warn all of our guests, that this is not necessarily about you being arrogant, but about you boasting about what God could do or has done.
So, like, when we talked at the beginning about my organization and my administrative type things, I've helped Stephanie with the retreat, Stephanie Jernigan, just with the detail, little coordinating stuff. I'm a more behind the scenes kind of person. I'm more comfortable there. I feel like I'm a good listener and I'm compassionate or empathetic. So that's why with this Enneagram stuff that we're doing with your study, I do feel like I think with my emotions too. Like I really can relate to people. I can really feel what they're feeling, almost to a fault sometimes, because I absorb everybody's emotions. Which is, just makes it even harder to exist when people are like not doing well. So
you feel very burdened for other people.
I do, especially people that I'm close to. When I start thinking about the rest of the world, I get a little overwhelmed. There's part of me that's thought, you know, I have a heart for the Thrive Pregnancy Center and the women that are there with unplanned pregnancies, and I've thought about doing their training to kind of counsel those women.
Oh, how cool.
I don't know. So I'm just kind of open to that right now. I work in the nursery at church. Love that. Love the babies.
What was it about Kristen's post that drew you in? Because...
Well, at first I looked at it when she said, hey, I want to, you know, you guys have talked about that. We have so many amazing women at this church. I thought, well, I don't know that I fit into that category, but I would love to be a part of that. At first I said, I'm not going to respond because I don't know how to do that, or I might not be good at it, right? And so then I was like, no. I really want to get to know people. I do love hearing people's story. I love testimonies. It's just so awesome to see how God works in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So that's when I said, okay, I'm interested. I don't really know what that means, but okay. So, yeah, I just feel like...
You felt drawn to get to know.
And I know that the more vulnerable people are, just the deeper community we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I've, in my experience, I used to try to keep appearances. You know, I was really good at looking like I had it all together. And people would even tell me that, even at church sometimes, they're like, well, you just look like you... Like, well, I don't mean to. I mean, if I do, great. But, you know.
Maybe
like,
you have a little bit of three. You need a little seven in you so people know you're like, not all together.
But my people who know me well know I don't always have it together. But I just
tease it.
I just feel like where I was previously when I was a new mom, I was around women that really projected they had it all together. And that was so hard for me because there were days that I couldn't get makeup on and I wasn't dressed to the nines and like. So I love the authenticity of our church and the vulnerability and the people. As soon as I walked in there at DBC, Hannah was 6 months old and I was in a good place then. So I looked perfect. My daughter was perfect, but I met those friends, Stephanie Jernigan, Laura Seifert, Jamie Grant early on, and they walked with me through really tough stuff. And so I just want people to know that at DBC, there's people like it's okay. And I feel like Kat and Aaron have created that environment. And Kristen. So.
How long have you been at DBC?
So it'll be 6.5 years. I always judge by how old my daughter is. She was six months old.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'm just so glad. It's so close to our house, and
you're above our average so far.
Am I?
Yeah, wow. Most people are in like the
three Stephanie's been to here long, year been there range. A long time.
Then. Yeah, yeah.
So, do you feel like that situation with your firstborn, with Hannah, like mm-hmm. you feel like that's like the most difficult thing God's brought you through?
Yes, one of the most difficult things. And then, there's been a couple other along the way. Mm-hmm. Probably 2 years ago, we hit some bumps in our marriage where just something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I started going to counseling, and it was so hard. I cried all the time.
Mm-hmm. Counseling sucks.
And we were in counseling.
Thank you.
It does suck.
It really sucks.
We were in counseling. It works, but
if you do it right, it does suck.
We were there for a year.
If you do it right, it sucks. That makes it that's comforting.
No, it does, because it hurts. And mm-hmm. it was so good, because there were so many things that I was still carrying around, and he was carrying around. And
you know, sometimes I tell people, when they come to counseling and they say, like, this is miserable, and I think things are getting worse.
It did.
And I point out, you know, it's uncovering some stuff that's under the surface. And I always use this, you know, sometimes a bruise on its way to healing looks really nasty. And sometimes mm-hmm. it looks like it's even getting worse.
Is
like
that why I cry all the time?
That's right. That's because you're becoming more in touch with your emotions. And more
comfortable
with those. Man. Yes. So I had been in a kind of intense counseling before we even went to counseling. It was always like me. I was the one with the problem. So I needed to be in counseling. So it was a big step for us, but I mean, we had an awesome marriage counselor. We were there for like a year, and we learned so much, and we still refer back to the things he gave us to read, and just the techniques and tools he gave us. That's why for our 10-year anniversary, it was so special, because it's like those friends that were with us had walked us through that darkness, and we were there to celebrate where we were. And it caused a lot of fear for me, because we'd always had this great, perfect kind of marriage. Mm-hmm. We've always got along, not always, but you know, it was
generally
weird.
Generally, it wasn't really challenging.
It was weird, and it made me feel like I was putting too much security in that. Mm. I mean, I put security in my relationship, so, which isn't it's not good. You know, it really forced me to turn to God. Mm-hmm. And my counselor encouraged me to say, who is Catherine, and don't think that's selfish, mm-hmm. which as women, we're kind of told like we need to serve, we need to love. And I felt really like I'd never given myself the opportunity. I went straight from college to being a wife and then being a mother, mm-hmm. and didn't have a lot of time in between. So.
And we're almost told like, yeah, that's forbidden territory where you're not supposed to ask, what about me?
Oh,
what's,
yeah.
It
doesn't
step?
Make a really fun or enjoyable...
Catherine, you're all worried about being fun.
No, it doesn't make the best partner in a marriage, because I need to have opinion. I need to, yeah, so...
And feel free to have
feel
them.
Feel free. Mm-hmm. And, yes. So it's been, like, a huge growing period the last couple years.
And you've really seen God just working on your marriage and on you individually and what you are in that relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, sometimes my husband and I look at each other and we're like, okay, it's good right now. You know, it's like kind of waiting, like what's going to happen? But I mean, So.
You know, thank you for sharing that. I think there is a certain level of shame that can be attached to having marriage stuff, which we all have it. I just don't think everybody talks about it.
And some people are too scared to go to therapy about it.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
right. I don't know what would happen if we didn't go to... I mean, we just...
Well, there's still such a stigma, I think, sometimes
there is
associated
a stigma.
With it.
And it's expensive.
Oh, it is a lot of money. It is.
But it was worth every penny.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like y'all both did the work. Like, you got
did.
In there and
You're
did what you were
supposed
to do. You're
both committed to being there. And wanted to we want a good, healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to be married forever and enjoy being married forever.
And it sounds like it's set you off on this path of self-discovery, which sometimes I think in the Christian communities that can be like seem like selfish, and that you shouldn't do that, and that it's, what you're doing should always be about other people.
Exactly.
But, you know, one of our questions is just how has God grown you in recent years? Mm-hmm. And what would you still like to see him do in your life? Or how, mm-hmm. what's an area that you'd really like to continue to grow in?
I think I just want to be more sensitive or aware to where God's leading me and to listen and not be afraid to take a chance, not be afraid of if something seems like it becomes available and it's something I should try or an area I should serve, but I don't feel like I'm gifted mm-hmm. to just try it because that's not something I do. And I feel like I've missed out up to this point in my life. I've missed out on a lot because I don't
do fear things. Has held you back.
Fear has held me back. And that's, I mean, that's a huge, and that's something I feel ashamed of too, because it's like, if you're fearful, you're not trusting God. Mm. So I pray about that. It's a huge, you know, anxiety. It can really just suck you in and keep you paralyzed. Mm. And so
that's such a good word for it. Paralyzed. It really can paralyze you.
Where you can't go forward or backward. I mean, you just can't move. And so I just keep praying that I can continue to move forward. And, you know, doing the Enneagram study, we keep talking about that, it forces you, yes, to be introspective and learn about yourself and learn how you can be healthy and learn about mm-hmm. other people. And I didn't grow up having deep conversations. My first deep conversation was in college. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this is, and now I love it. I don't want to know mm-hmm. people on surface level anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I really want to know people and I want them to know me. And I have to know myself, too, to do that, right?
So. Well, you know, like, watching you just do this interview tonight, I know that you were a little anxious to come and do it. But, like, I have not picked up on that. I think you've done such an amazing job at sharing your heart. And just, I don't know, I think you're so lovely and special, and I just
Now, let's see if it falls apart during Bible trivia.
Yeah, now it's time to...
It will.
Now it's time where we'll pepper you with verses, and you tell us where
you
they
know,
are.
I taught 1 year at Covenant, and I taught the Explorers, which is their kindergarten, and I was teaching them Bible stories with a felt board. I didn't grow up doing that. Mm-hmm. And I actually, like, I learned so much teaching the most basic Bible stories, because most kids just kind of grow up with Noah's Ark and all that, and I was learning with them, so... Bible trivia, I'm still working on it.
Well, that's what, when we've been joking the whole time about, like, asking people their favorite Bible verse, because I've said repeatedly to my good friend Jess over here how screwed I would be if somebody asked me...
On the spot.
That question.
She'd go John 3:16.
I know Ephesians. No, wait, what I would do now, because you asked me that question.
Did you
in our interview? Yes, I did.
What did you say? I can't even remember. I haven't listened back to that.
I either said Micah, I think 6:8. No, I said for freedom, Christ has set us free.
All right, but you didn't give me the address, and now it's the time where you have to give me the address.
It's either Micah or Galatians.
Galatians. If it's between Micah and Galatians, I should know.
I should know this because
but it's part not of the Micah. Team. It's in the New Testament.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sure. That's right. Yeah. Because it's for Christ. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not even good enough to know that Micah is in the Old Testament. And I have a child named Micah. That's why we don't do that to you. There will be no Bible trivia here.
There will be no Bible trivia tonight.
But that doesn't mean I don't love Jesus, even
no.
if I
can't no.
quote
no.
him.
No.
Well, I am so glad that you pushed through a little bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it was fun.
It was.
I loved hearing from
I'm not going to like hearing my voice played back.
You know, oh, well, you know, I don't listen. I don't listen to these.
Okay.
That's my confession.
That's part of the reason why she got the administrative role before you agreed to do it, was because I'm like, I'm having to listen to these things and write a
and
synopsis.
Edit and stuff.
No, yeah. Kyle, they're hardly edited.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not edited.
They should be more heavily edited, but we like to produce the raw, real stuff.
That's right. Yeah. This is what it is. But no, but I'm having to listen back to it, write a synopsis. I'm like, she can schedule the people or whatever. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, no. I just want to say.
But Lord can't stand to hear her voice.
Oh, I can't stand to hear my voice. But for anyone that has, you know, everyone has a story. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be like, I can't do an interview because I don't have this interesting life. And I don't have this amazing career or something. You know, there's a lot of insecurities that I have where I'm like, I don't really have much to share. So just thank you for asking me. And
oh, I so think the opposite. I think you shared some amazing stuff and just did so.
And it's all.
I don't want to be one of the people that says you appear like you have it all together, but you just seemed confident and.
Well, I've been in a lot of counseling, so I've been able to express that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it is a testimony to what God's done.
Oh, definitely.
And letting you settle into your skin
and
be
like
who you are.
Everything that we go through, obviously, is to bring Him glory and to add to our story, and I wouldn't change any of it.
Well, and we just appreciate you not holding that back so that you can share that with other people. Mm-hmm. And it does bring Him glory.
Yeah, it does. And I think that... yeah, you've done that amazingly well.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. And thank you so much for saving the podcast and probably our friendship by stepping in and doing the administrative stuff.
All right. I'll try not to fail you.
No, already have it.
And thanks for listening to Embarrassment of Riches. We'll see you next time.